Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we have some fun talking with our guests from the Allen Centennial Garden right here on the UW-Madison campus. In the studio with me, Ben Fuda, Executive Director, and Josh Steger, the head gardener, and they'll have some tips to help you create some fun planters this season and, of course, take your flower gardening questions as well as we move along. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. But, you know, before we get to them, Jill Nadeau joins me here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We call her the Flower Power Gal.
That's me.
Because there's nobody that raises flowers in pots better than Jill. And so I thought, why not have her come in today and help me talk with you about our spring membership drive, your
Yay.
Contribution. Yeah, your contribution keeps informative talk programming on WPR. And what a day it is.
Oh, my gosh. You can just feel the excitement in the air, Larry. We have a dollar-for-dollar match going on, and your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, every gift at any amount, will be doubled.
And your gift makes a big difference because the single largest share of funding for WPR programs comes from people just like you. Many good reasons to give right now. As a matter of fact, I have brought in a box of fireworks. We have a crowd waiting outside, and if
Excellent.
We go over the top, I am lighting the fireworks, and we're going to let it go. Well, how do we do that? We do that with your help. You have to get on the phone right now. Call us at 888-202-2552, or just as easy, or maybe even easier, go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
And do it now because it's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have a dollar-for-dollar a match in effect. Current members have pooled all of their resources to encourage you to support WPR programs today. So far, 351 people have gotten their donation matched. Team up with your fellow listeners to double your support for the programs that you rely on. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, of course, your tax dollars, the federal and state dollars, do support WPR. They each make up a percentage of our funding, for sure.
Yes, they do.
And voluntary listener support, though, is actually the single biggest source.
It is it. And they make the difference because you make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And listeners make the program here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. And members make the programs possible, for sure.
That's right. You get all of these great shows because members, people like you who donate, kick in the single largest amount of funding for WPR programs. Become a member now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $100 or $10 a month or any amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A double shot latte.
A double header. Two baseball games for the price of one.
And my donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. I love when a match doubles my gift.
Well, the match is on. Give now, and your donation of any amount will be doubled by a generous group of current members, including Uncle Reginald, great friend of the 2015 WPR Scotland Travelers Group. Today's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have $60,000 to match. Don't wait. Double your support for the WPR programs you love when you give right now. Here's how.
Just pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with the Flower Power Gal, Jill Nadeau. Listener support, single biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support is so important. So Give a gift. Maybe it's $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. And we have about $5,000 yet to go on that match.
So if you want to get your amount matched, you better pledge now. And you know what? We value your time. And we know you value your time. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio only takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And tell you what, it's quick and easy to do. Your gift right now helps. It only takes a minute or two at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You know, I almost forgot those numbers.
How could you, Larry?
They're only a foot high that I'm looking at them right now. Oh, man. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, our big dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect on this last day of our spring membership drive. It's a great time to support WPR, the programs that you love, like Garden Talk. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You know, I haven't given yet, and I have to give.
You still haven't, Larry?
I could double mine.
You could double.
I could double mine right now, and one of the reasons I want to do it is because I want to get one of the new WPR artist mugs.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mug. Features a caribou made by Karen Ann Hoffman, a Native American beader. And for a gift of $15 a month, we'll send you one of those mugs. Mm-hmm. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, we'll become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your first year of sustaining gifts will be matched dollar for dollar.
Dollar for dollar, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, the place to go. We're going to visit now with Ben Fuda, Executive Director of the Allen Centennial Garden. Ben, great to see you.
Larry, thanks for having us again.
Yeah, and it's also great to have Josh Stager with us. Josh is the head gardener at the Allen Centennial Gardens. Yep. Josh, let me turn your mic on. No,
thank you.
Now you can hear. Great to have you. You're a head gardener.
Yes.
Do you just order people around, or do you have to work yourself?
Sure. Actually, I was a previous intern of Allen Centennial a couple of years ago, and I was asked to come back as a head gardener. So I work with interns, the volunteers, as well as Ben working on garden designs and container designs. So, yeah, a little bit of all of that.
And, you know, we probably should back up. Ben, talk a bit about, for those who aren't familiar with the Allen Centennial Garden, tell us a bit about it.
Well, we are, I like to say, the best garden on campus. So we're just over 2 acres. We're always open and we're always free. The best time to come visit us, I like to say, is evenings and weekends, of course, when parking is free and easy on campus. So anytime after 4:30 in the evenings, and believe it or not, things are finally starting to bloom. So there's actually a reason to come out and check us out.
Yeah, the snow and all the crummy weather had to have had an impact. Mm-hmm. On it, Josh.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely on some of our containers, too, that I started too early.
Well, you know, when you got those containers, you want to get them going, get spring going. But things have really popped, at least in southern Wisconsin here in the last few days.
They have, and we were looking at photos from a year ago, and we're a solid month behind. I mean, this time last year, we had tulips in full bloom. We had, you know, our shrubs were in full bloom, and things are still, you know, we still have little crocus and little cute things that are just, the daffodils haven't started yet. I mean, it's still...
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, Bill in Madison has a question, so let's go there. Bill, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. Thanks, Larry. I started a bunch of tomatoes and peppers, and they all came up and germinated nicely, and they're growing well. But some of the seeds are actually pretty old, and they still germinated, but they're a half a dozen, even 8 years old. Just because they germinated and are growing, will they be viable? Do they lose genetic information?
Oh, interesting.
So far as I know, they should be okay. The biggest issue with viability is whether there is a little bit of moisture and nutrients contained in each seed to get the plant up and rolling. And as long as they've germinated and they're growing, they should be fine to go. So you must have stored them very, very, very well.
Well, and I was thinking about, I mean, there are seeds that have been discovered you know, from maybe 100 years old that produce squash, I know for sure.
Yeah, the genetic integrity, I don't think is an issue. It's mostly if they'll, viability is mostly concerned with whether they will actually germinate or not. And if they're growing, I think you're good to go.
Yeah, thanks for that call. Let's go to Janice in Madison then. Janice, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, and guest. I am wondering, I have some raised bed gardens. And a couple weeks ago, you know, in the fall, I throw all sorts of leaves on them. And I think a couple weeks ago, one of your guests says to remove all those, all the stuff that I've thrown on the garden. Is that right?
Well, I tell you what, if you've got some leaves that have formed a mat on the garden, it's probably a good idea to get rid of them, I would think.
You could also just maybe turn them into a pitchfork or something, sort of fold them into the soil. They should compost in sight and sort of enrich the soil in place as well.
I've got some in my flower gardens. I have not yet removed the leaves, and I've got to get them out now because things are happening. I held on to them because I know one of our entomologists told me that there were some, you know, insects still living in those leaves, and you know you didn't want to get rid of them too early, so.
Yeah, I would definitely say holding on to the leaves for a while is a good thing through winter and early spring, especially if they're really heavy in, say, a perennial bed where the perennials may struggle. Now is an okay time to pull those away. But if this, you said raised bed, so if this is a vegetable garden, I assume, or something like that, folding those leaves in will just enrich the soil and hopefully make a little less work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Lucia on Facebook says, please talk about large container gardens that need to overwinter. I'm building a pergola, and at each post would like to put a large container that will have a value to, or a vine, I should say, to climb up. These vines will be perennials. How do I overwinter a large container, or should I stick it in the ground and have a container off to the side for other things?
I think the second solution is the way to go. Putting the vines in the containers, it's... Again, unless you're prepared to sink the container in the ground or cover it in a huge mat of straw every year, I think you'll make your life a lot easier if you just use those containers as seasonal displays and put the vines themselves actually in the ground.
Thanks very much for that question. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234 with your flower questions. I'd love to hear from you. Josh, you guys put in a lot of containers. You do put a fair number of containers in the Allen Gardens.
We do. Yeah, we actually ordered some new ones this year, too. So we
do have something cool?
Yeah. actually, we've been gaining a lot of popularity from our containers, our spring ones, in our terrace area. Some things that I actually put in there, well, so I started off about a month ago, and I was very anxious, and I put in some ranunculus and some pansy, some dogwood for a little bit of height. Then all the snow came, and all the sleet came, and the pansies were okay, the ranunculus were okay, but I had to do a lot of trimming of them to bring them back.
Yeah.
But, recently, yeah.
And I think we forget, too, you know, that it's things like pansies, kale, you know, those ranunculus. There's so many things that really do, you know, people were sort of asking us, well, you sure those are going to be okay? And they're as long as it doesn't freeze for a long period of time, just that little bit of snow, they wilted, but they bounced right back, and they look just great.
Perfect. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of containers do you like, by the way? Are there certain types that are better than others? I've got some plastic. I've got some other types. The plastics, I don't...
Things we don't have to move inside.
Yeah.
Or winterize.
Yeah, that's right.
We've actually transitioned away from all of our plastic pots and most of our terracotta at this point for that reason. We have been sourcing, we've been adding to the collection for the last couple of years, cast concrete containers, which do a much better, they're sealed, some of them are glazed, so they do a lot better in terms of overwintering, and they can just stay right in place, and also cast iron if you're really ambitious, but those are, you need an army to move those some days.
Yeah, and of course I have the first two, all terracotta and plastic, all kinds of those. Jill Nadeau told me right away, don't save
I
them?
I told you that, Larry.
She told me that.
I told you that.
And I didn't listen. And, of course, that's what happens to me. But I like to listen to her now. And the reason I do is because she's got some important information for us about our spring membership drive. If you've been meaning to give, now's the time. We've got about $3,000 to go to reach a very important milestone. Our drive ends today at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And your gift is important because, you know, listener donations, they're the single largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on right now. Mm-hmm. A great time to give at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And it's such an exciting day, Larry. Here we are at the end of our drive, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and we're getting to the end of that even. Well, that means that your gift of any amount will be doubled by a generous group of current members. Make this a big day for WPR programs that you care about. Double the impact of your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every day we hear from a different guest expert about a lot of things, but every week on Friday we hear from a guest expert about your favorite pastime, gardening.
That's right.
Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants and a whole lot more. So I hope you'll support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And again, it's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have a day-long match in effect, well, till the money runs out. So make your donation now. It's doubled when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$2,700 to go.
Oh, we're getting down.
My name's Karen Ann Hoffman. I live in Stevens Point, and I'm an Iroquois-raised bead worker. The rock art caribou on this artist mug was inspired by a piece of rock art in southwestern Wisconsin. I saw scratched into the rock this line with an arrow point, it looked like, on it. And so I found myself standing in the very same place that some artist thousands of years prior had stood. And I thought, you know, I have to honor that artist.
Ask for your 2018 artist mug when you make a gift of $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, asking for your support during our spring membership drive because, why? Because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And I don't care what your gift is. It might be it's $10 a month. Maybe you're going to contribute $20. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. That means that your monthly gift automatically renews every year, whether it's the $10 or $100 or whatever the amount that you choose. So get started now. It feels great to be a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I didn't haul this big box of fireworks in here for nothing. Our exciting dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, and I'm going to light those fireworks
when we
reach that goal. We still have about $3,000 to go to reach it. So please help us out. You're going to be doubling your pledge. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And your support for WPR goes twice as far.
And I know that our Garden Talk listeners are going to push us over the top. I just feel it, Larry. Support the programs that you care about and enjoy your favorite hot beverage in the 2018 WPR Artist Mug. It's really, really pretty. It's an image of a caribou made with traditional Native American beadwork. Well, a picture of it, not the actual beadwork. Ask for your lovely new artist mug when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, certainly thank you very much. And you could make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Maybe you add $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, of course. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 And when you increase, your new monthly amount will be matched dollar for the first year.
That is a deal.
That is a, excuse me, I got so excited, I choked up here.
You choked up, Larry, it's okay. It's
I choked up. I thought, well, do it right now. Anyway, WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 as we visit with our two wonderful guests today, Ben Fuda and Josh Steger from the Allen Centennial Gardens. Join in with your questions for them. As a matter of fact, we have some callers online with questions, so I think we'll just go right there. On to Kevin in Madison. Kevin, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got a hillside. It's probably 60 feet long, top to bottom, and probably 100 feet wide. And it's covered with old honeysuckle. I mean, really old honeysuckle. And I'm trying to tear it all out of there. There's a ton of bluebells. Last year when I bought this property, the place was just covered with bluebells. My question is, when I taking all this honeysuckle out of there, am I going to, there's quite a few oak trees, but am I going to lose enough shade that help destroy those bluebells?
Oh, what do you think, Ben?
I think you'll probably be okay taking out the honeysuckle. Especially if they are, if there's an established forest canopy, you mentioned the oaks, I think you'll be okay. The other piece to this too, the bluebells being such a spring ephemeral, really right now when they're up there, they're in full sun. You know, shade isn't a huge issue for them until later in the season. But the honeysuckle actually is good to get out sooner than later because it does leaf out typically earlier than a lot of your native trees and things like that. So it can suppress those native species. So getting the honeysuckle out, I don't think we'll have any, only beneficial things will happen.
Oh, good. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much. And the second, that makes a lot of sense. And the second question, what other kind of native plants can I put on that hillside? I mean, I'd like to get something green through the winter.
Yes, so I would recommend sedges. So sedges come in all shapes, sizes, colors, forms. They're beautiful. They're not truly a grass. They look grass-like from a distance, but are truly a bit different, but they behave in many of the same ways. Some are spreaders, some will form clumps, but they're very well adapted to shade, both dry and moist shade. The Flower Factory in just outside of Madison here locally for us is a great resource for a lot of great sedges. But there's a lot of places now that do mail order online as well where you can find some great selections.
I'm sorry, I prefer to buy locally. What was the name of that place again?
The Flower Factory.
The Flower Factory. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. June in Wanakee, it's your turn. Hi, June.
Hi there. I have a terrible problem with beetles, and I'm not sure if they're called Asian beetles or Japanese beetles, but they're the kind with the fluorescent back. And I know they're attracted to morning glories and grapevines. I stopped planting the morning glories because it got so bad, but I really like my grapes. How can I get them to stop eating my grape leaves?
Oh, that's going to be a problem.
I'll take the answer offline because I'm driving.
Okay.
I've got a couple ideas for you. It just depends on, so I try and ascribe to being as organic in management as possible, using as few chemicals as possible. So there's a couple mechanisms to explore. The first is to find a really fine netting, like even something finer than a bird netting. It's just a really thin plastic net, again, that basically you can toss over the top of these, and that's a physical barrier that could prevent the beetles from getting to the plants themselves. That would need to go on, again, probably midsummer before the beetles show up, because once they're here, you'll be containing them in a place where they're really happy, so that's not so great. The other option, if you prefer not to go that route, we've had really good success in the Allen Centennial Garden. We've just purchased a little battery-powered dust buster, and that is our beetle vacuum. I swear to God. And when the beetles show up, we just once in the morning, or you know, so usually about once a day, we'll go through, we'll vacuum the plants, we'll empty that into our pond. The fish love them; they're just like candy. If you don't have a fish pond, you can always just dump them in a bucket of soapy water, and that'll take care of them as well.
Oh, and then that floating row cover, is that basically what you were talking about?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense to me. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And I like the idea of just vacuuming them up.
It's kind of fun, especially if you've got grandkids or neighbors that just let you know. It's a fun chore for them.
I was actually using that vacuum to clean out the shed the other day, so now I know what that's for.
Yes, it has many. It can be used many, many ways.
Josh used a vacuum to clean out his shed. I haven't cleaned my shed out, and I don't know when. I like that. I like that idea, though. A listener called in asking, is there such a thing as too many coffee grounds in compost? Is that something to monitor?
There could be, I don't know what the ratio is. I could see there being an issue because of the acidity and the caffeine. I don't know if the caffeine would play as big a role, maybe as the acidity. Again, I don't know. I wouldn't know ratios right offhand, but I think it would be something to dig deeper in.
Yeah, I suppose if you were getting your coffee grounds from the local Starbucks, where you might have 30 pounds of it, that'd be one thing. But hard to imagine.
Yeah, if you're just using your home coffee grounds, you know.
If you're drinking four cups of coffee a day, you know, you're not going to, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think small amounts are probably fine. Yeah, if you were getting the 10-gallon bags from Starbucks, then it'd be a different story. But.
Tom emailed in, I usually sprinkle green in my perennial beds. In my perennial beds to prevent weeds. Would pre-emergence crabgrass preventer be the same thing since they both prevent seeds from germinating?
I don't know for sure. My guess is they wouldn't be the same. The crabgrass preventer may only prevent grass from germinating versus broadleafed weeds. So I don't know that they're, again, the product label will probably give some more info, but my guess is they're not going to be identical.
Yeah, that would be the thing. You made a good point there. Look at the product labels and mm-hmm. see how much they match, whether or not they match up at all.
And they usually will say, you know, it takes care of these, you know, broadleaf versus grass weeds. If it's a complete pre-emergent, it would take care of both, but there may be, the crabgrass preventer may just be explicit to crabgrass potentially, but again, I'd check the label to verify.
Make sure.
Yes.
Sure. Paul and Nina, your turn. Paul, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. Thank you. So I've had some trouble in front of my house getting flowering bushes to live through the winter. I've had some shrub roses in front of my house, and as well as along my sidewalk, between my sidewalk and my garage, and they don't seem to want to live through the winter. One group in front of the house lived about 2 or 3 years. Another one, the smaller shrub roses, just lived 1 year. And so I'm thinking, what can I do this year to get some flowering plants that might make it through the winter?
Okay.
My guess is the species themselves may be sensitive to cold snaps, so giving them just a little bit of extra insulation over winter could be helpful. Getting a tomato cage or a simple wire cage or something like that and filling it with straw in the fall around the rose canes just helps to buffer those cold winter winds, maybe helps to keep the buds from being destroyed, again, by cold winter winds or anything like that. It's not 100% guaranteed, but that little extra insulation can be surprising in terms of how much it helps.
I have some other bushes. I'm forgetting the name of it, darn it. I think they're green something. They're dying, too, the smaller ones that I have.
Yeah, probably the same thing.
It could, I mean, like, I know, you know, there's certain hydrangeas that are sold out there that are, they look beautiful in the pot, but they will never rebloom for you. They're, the panicle hydrangeas.
I've got some yews in other parts of the, my property, and boy, they're solid. They've been living for years, no problem. The winter doesn't seem to bother them, so I was thinking of putting some small yews in. Would that work, do you think, instead of?
If they've been successful in other places, I think it's worth a shot for sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks a lot, Paul, for calling. Lois in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, Lois.
Hi. I don't know if I'm being paranoid or what, but our garden club is really concerned about the jumping worms. And I'm wondering, how do you know, how do you prevent, by buying plants, how do you prevent getting them, and how do you avoid that?
Oh, the turnout! You are not alone. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of preventing the spread, so that is the first place to sort of think about with any invasive pest. But I would start. A lot of nurseries, especially in our area, I think are aware of this. They're cognizant of it, and when they bring in their soil, bring in their compost to, you know, that goes into their potting mixes, They're making sure it's sourced from responsible places. But that being said, it doesn't hurt, you know, as a consumer, it's totally within our right to ask our nurseries where, you know, to ask the question of them, because different nurseries may operate in different ways. Definitely, nurseries are usually a fair bet. They're very conscious of not spreading something like this. So you typically would be safe. Where you'd want to be careful, maybe sharing plants with other gardeners from other folks' backyards, things like that. If you're in a place, if you're walking through a garden where there's jumping worms, making sure that you either have like a scrub brush or something to the bottom of your shoes to sort of, you know, get off any particles of dirt or many eggs that may be on there that you're not seeing. So the first step is really preventing that spread. And also, again, being very cautious about where you get your compost from. And again, asking wherever you may order it from, or if it's delivered or anything like that, asking the question of that provider is always a good step.
Yeah, staying with the local greenhouses, the local folks, I think is always a good idea, mm-hmm. because they are going to be really cognizant of all of that. Thanks very much, Lois, for calling. Appreciate your call. We have, lots of things we can talk about, but Jill Nadeau with a flower pot on her head. What did you do that for?
Because it's garden talk, Larry.
Oh, it's garden. Okay, the flower power gal is back with us. And tell you what, we're in our last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio spring membership drive. And, my goodness. No. My goodness me, we just went over $60,000 for our matching. Wait a minute, let me get the fireworks going.
Okay, careful, right. Larry. That's a flame. That's an open flame. Oh, there you go.
There they go.
Woo! That's a good one. Look at that one.
Oh, man, look at that one.
Nice.
Doc, wow. Look out. Oh, that was so much fun. It was so great. I tell you what, the excitement abounds here. People are jumping up and down. Oh, my. Oh, well, listen. I'll open the door again. Listen to that. We have reached. We have met our matching. All right. Come on, you guys. Settle down. Shut the door, Joe. Shut the door.
I got it, Larry. I'm glad there wasn't room for that.
She shut the door. Now we've.
There's a band out there.
We have made it. But yet there, it's so wonderful to have this happen. We have all our matching dollars are gone, but you know what? We're not done yet. See, I didn't even get to put my contribution in and get the matching money, but you know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm still going to support and get my mug.
Yes.
With my contribution of $15 a month. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, we're still in the last day. I think, what are we going to? 7 o'clock tonight?
I believe so.
So we still have...
7 hours almost.
We've got a long time to go yet. And we're going to be here for the whole 7 hours. No, we're not.
We're not.
We're going away after Garden Talk is over. But I tell you what, thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, like me, this drive, I tell you what, you can still do it. Your support, it's so, so, so important. Powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertain, and that's how it works, isn't it?
That's right. You guys pay for what you hear, pretty much, and we appreciate that so much. And don't forget, if you pledge, you can get that beautiful mug, too. It's got that image of a caribou. It was created in beadwork, made by Karen Ann Hoffman from the United Nations, and you'll just love drinking your coffee or tea from this mug, and it's yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love that mug, and I tell you what, I would love to get it, and I'm going to get it when I go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I have a lot of confidence, and even though we've gone over, I have a lot of confidence that we're going to get lots of people who are going to contribute to the
Absolutely.
Larry. Drive.
They will. They will because,
they will.
You know, they love Garden Talk. They love the shows on WPR. So they're going to continue to contribute. And we do have a goal. So we're going to have to keep getting our goal for the rest of the break.
We definitely are. And you know what? Let's listen to this.
Okay.
Love WPR programs.
I couldn't live without them.
I get weepy just thinking about it.
What if I told you that today your support of WPR programs would go twice as far?
Love it.
Count me in.
Today's a special day at WPR. It's the last day of our spring membership drive, and we have a match up to $60,000 donated by current members, including Don and Roz Ron from Madison. Give now, and your support for the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on will be doubled. Here's how to give.
Here's how to give. You, how do you give? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau talking about our spring membership drive. And we've heard from so many wonderful people. Sandra from Sheboygan says, I love public radio, love the serious, in-depth coverage of important issues. I love a variety of topics, including gardening, health, and pets. That's what we do here from 11 to 12:30 every single day. I just love public radio. Keep it coming. We are going to keep it coming. We're going to keep it going.
And so is our listeners. They're going to keep it coming. They're going to keep continuing to pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have you contributed yet? If you haven't contributed, this would be a wonderful time to do it. It's a time when you can sort of cast a vote for Garden Talk. We have some great guests on today, Ben Fuda and Josh Steger from the Allen Centennial Garden. They know a whole lot, and we're going to be talking with them some more about gardening here. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing it coming up in just a minute.
Just a minute.
Talking flowers today here on our Garden Talk program. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Ben Fuda and Josh Steger of the Allen Centennial Garden, located on the UW-Madison campus. Great to have them along. And thank you so much for listening in as we visit with them. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234. Marianne in Madison, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. And my question, I guess, is as much for you, Larry, as for our guests, because I recently acquired a lime tree plant. And it's a Beer's lime. And I've had it about 3 weeks. And I have had like 4 leaves drop off. I've been very careful about watering. It does not sit in water ever. I have it on a little raised thing in a dish, and then the dish can have water in it to give moisture, but it's raised up above the water level. I only water it when I put my finger an inch down into the soil, and that's totally dry.
Mm-hmm.
What might I be doing wrong, or does it need a certain size pot? The plant itself is at least 2 feet high, and it's maybe in a 4 or 5 inch pot that's about 6 inches tall. Is the pot maybe too small? I just don't know, and I don't want to lose it.
That's 2 feet. Yeah.
My first notion is, what kind of water are you using? Just tap water?
I've been using filtered water.
Okay, so
from the tap, I put it through my Brita filter.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that was my first guess. Could be again any of those heavier salts and minerals in our typical tap water could be having an effect. It also, let me think.
And could it be shock from moving it from one end?
Yes,
that was my next guess, was potentially shock, where it's just going through the motions, and should, as long as you're not seeing, you know, any of the, if most of the leaves are still in good shape, it's not yellowing or browning. If you just lost a couple of leaves, I wouldn't panic yet.
It's not a very big pot for that size lime tree. Mm-hmm. My limey likes a little bigger pot than that for sure. And I don't know, if I were you, I'd consider repotting it to a next size up anyway. Does that make sense to you, Ben?
Yeah, definitely.
That does. And what kind of soil should I repot it into?
There are specific mixes out there, I know, for citrus, for growing indoor citrus. Most garden centers, if you go there, should have it or be able to direct you where to find it.
Yep. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Good luck, Limey. My lime tree's got lots of limes and flowers and is doing pretty well right now. And Doug in St. Cloud, Minnesota, we'll go to you next. Hi, Doug.
How are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
A couple questions. First one, I have a tree in the backyard that has black knot, and I've basically tr- trimmed almost everything off of it, and it, you know, it had new sprouts last year. But I noticed some of the black knot is coming back, and I put in weeping birch and a willow tree and pin cherry, and I was wondering if that black knot can spread to those trees. If so, I'm going to turn it into an ornament.
Gotcha. What do you think, Ben?
Fortunately, my wheelhouse is less in plant diseases, but we have really good resources here at UW-Madison in the Plant Disease and Diagnostic Clinic. Either email them a photo, send them a photo, again, with a little bit of a description, and they're usually in a really good shape. They should be able to diagnose and give you that that answer much more appropriately than I can.
Yeah, that's really a good point. If you go online to the UW-Madison Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic, you can type in a question to them, and you'll get a pretty quick answer back.
Yes.
They may not even need a photo for that. If you know it's black knot, they could probably, you might get an answer yet today. Who knows?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So do that, Doug, and thanks for calling the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic. That's the place. Christina in Glenwood City, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Congratulations.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Now, I've got two questions. I live in western Wisconsin near the Twin Cities, and I'm wondering, is it still safe to trim flowering crab trees?
When you say safe, what do you mean by safe?
Well, the cut, is it going to attract any kind of fungus or...
Oh, I see. Insects, okay.
Anything like that?
To my knowledge, you may still be in a safe zone right now. Obviously, the biggest cautionary tale being you'll lose some flower buds with it, but you can always stick them in a vase, and at this point, they'll bloom for you indoors if they haven't bloomed yet.
Okay.
So far as I know, it
should be fine.
It should be fine. Yeah,
yeah.
It should be okay.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, I do a lot of container gardening.
Yeah.
Flowers, herbs, veggies. And I'm wondering, do I need to replace all of that soil every year, or should I just kind of top it off? What's your advice regarding that?
All right, Josh Steger, what do you think?
Well, I learned from Ben that some of the soils that we have in our containers, we have been replacing every year, but... Ben, like, we could do, like, a mix.
You can sort of, if you take out maybe 30% or something like that and reincorporate, you know, compost or something like that, you can sort of refresh without removing everything.
Yeah, I never remove it all.
Too much work, yeah.
It's too much work, and it's expensive, too. So there you go, Christina. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Janice in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Larry. I have a question. I looked everywhere last summer, all summer, for that floating roll cover, and I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, I tell you, and even at the garden centers? At your local garden?
I tried garden centers, Walmart, places that even said they had it, didn't, and then some garden centers said, I never heard of that.
Well,
yeah, it's a fairly common supply. It could be, if you were looking for it in summer, though, my guess may be it's typically more spring availability, possibly, that it could have, that could have been a piece of it. But also, Gardener Supply Company is also a good place to go for a lot of the sort of more specialty or abnormal. I wouldn't call it specialty, but if, you know, worst case scenario, Gardener Supply Company usually has a lot of really good quality products mail order.
I'd stop by, before I did that, I'd just stop by my local garden center, one of the locally owned ones, and a lot of times they can just order it for you.
Especially this time of, earlier in the year, it's a better bet than midsummer, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably midsummer. I was looking all over it in some places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people have asked me about that, but I haven't even heard of it.
It's called a floating row cover.
Garden center.
Yeah, floating row cover. So give that a try, and I'm hoping it works out for you, Janice. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Harriet in Richland County, your turn. Hi, Harriet.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a raised bed with blueberry bushes in it, And over the winter, a corner of the box rotted away, and I ended up with a hole in the corner. And I was wondering, when I first put it together, I made my own mixture. But is there such a thing as bagged blueberry mix?
Not that I've seen. To my knowledge, the biggest need of those blueberries is a little bit more of an acidic soil. But right. that can be achieved, again, through soil additives and things. But as far as I know, there's no pre-made mixes that I've seen. But that doesn't mean they don't exist.
I've never seen one. But
yeah, I've looked around and I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. So you just have to do it on your own, Harriet.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. Brian in Woodbury, Minnesota. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to follow up. I just heard someone call in and ask about pruning on flowering crab trees.
Yep.
And I was an arborist for about 10 years, and that was something that we avoided at all costs. It seems to increase their susceptibility to fire blight.
Yeah.
So that was something where actually, in general, we avoided pruning trees when they were in any sort of transition. We kind of wanted to make sure that they were able to compartmentalize a little better. So either when they're fully leafed out or when they're completely dormant are the safe times.
Perfect. So
thank you.
Fully
yeah.
leafed out or dormant. That's the time period. Yeah. Right.
And for us, I did all my tree work out in Colorado, but for us, we would actually, with any of the fruiting trees, would only be during the dormant season, and then any of the other deciduous trees would be, you know, when they're fully leafed out.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you so much, Brian, for that call. Appreciate it very much. You know, one of the cool things about this program is if we don't have an exact answer right away, there's almost always somebody who's going to call in and provide some great information. In my case, if I have the question, I just go to ask Jill Nadeau. Jill is usually has the answer for me if we don't hear it from our
even
our
if
listener.
It's the wrong one, Larry. I have an answer.
It's the right one every single time. Here she is, our last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio membership drive. She came wandering in again with her flower pot in her hand, and she's here to help me tell you about your gift here to Wisconsin Public Radio. It will really make a big difference.
That's right. Listener support is the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that means that your support funds this program as well as all the other WPR shows that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here, Mary from Wanakee says, I love listening to Larry. Well, Mary, I love listening to you when you call in with your contribution.
Yes,
that's
we do. Ooh, that's nice, nice transition, Larry.
Go to WPR.org. You won't hear my voice right at the moment when you talk, but I tell you what, you'll be hearing from some wonderful people who are ready to take your contribution. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you know, Larry, we give out so much great information to our listeners every week on Garden Talk, and that's a pretty unique thing in radio. And what else is unique is that WPR is listener supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many, many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and make your pledge.
I'll probably do it during the noon hour.
You're gonna run over there, yeah. Give a call
in the newscast because it only takes a couple of minutes.
That's true.
It takes a few minutes. It's so easy to do. You just need your name, your contact number, the amount of the pledge, and how you'd like to pay.
That's right. It just takes a few minutes to make your gift, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Just pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with the flower gal, Jill Nadeau. Listener support, the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during our drive is so important. And maybe your gift, I don't know, $10, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. At WPR, we have a core group of supporters who continue to give and give generously. They willingly contribute because they depend on this vital resource. Maybe you rely on WPR too, and for whatever reason, you haven't given yet.
I can't believe there's somebody out there who hasn't given. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have never given. So,
we
call them new donors.
That's right. We like new donors.
We like new donors, and we rely on new donors like you to grow and to help keep our quality programs on the air. Hey, today is the day, it's the last day of our drive. We're into about the last half hour where you can put in a vote for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. So I hope you'll show your support not only for Garden Talk, but for all the great shows. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. And your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs that you enjoy possible.
So I hope you'll support the programs you care about and enjoy. You can enjoy your hot beverage in the 2018 WPR Artist Mug when you give $15 a month or more, just like I'm going to do here in a few minutes. This year's artwork, it's really an image of a caribou. It's beautiful. It's made with traditional Native American beadwork. And you can ask for this lovely new mug at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us. And then we'll be back with our two guests today, Ben Fuda and Josh Steger, to answer your flower questions. So stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller, and I have two guests for you today. Ben Fuda is executive director of the Allen Centennial Garden. Josh Steger is the head gardener at the Allen Centennial Garden. So zeroing in a bit on container gardens, in a way, some containers. We're talking flowers with them. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Tom in Barnum says, regarding the earlier question about coffee grounds in compost and the percentages, research by Linda Chalker Scott at Washington State University suggests that adding 10 to 20% coffee grounds by volume to the compost pile seems about right. Definitely not more than 30%. These guidelines have worked well for me, Tom, that is, for many years. And so I think going back, Ben, to what we were talking about earlier, if you're just having a few cups of coffee a day, you're not going to get to that 30%.
Right, exactly.
So that should not be an issue at all. Well, what are some of your suggestions for creating unique container gardens? I think that's such a cool idea, Josh. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. So recently what I was talking about earlier with that little cold snap we got with the snow and sleet for the pansies and the ranunculus, I did a little makeover this weekend for our urns on our terrace, and I actually went over to the flower factory, and I purchased a bunch of perennials, and some of the perennials I added were a penstemon, the King of Hearts, Bleeding Heart. They have a bluish silver leaf to them, and they're not as tall as like the normal Bleeding Heart, but they're a good size. They're kind of like a filler. I also added in a caramel-colored heuchera, or corabel, some people know them as. Mm-hmm. And the last one is a geome. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
What's the geome like?
The flowers are kind of like a peachy orange. The foliage is like a green. It's pretty basic, but I want to tie together, you know, like an orange pink color scheme. And then I put in pops of Pansy and Dusty Miller to kind of like mimic the King of Hearts, the blue silver leaves.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned before, I tied in some yellow dogwood for height. And I think like with spring containers, it's really fun when you find some things that you're even cleaning up from the previous season, and you find like really interesting sticks or twigs or something to add in there. I think it makes something look very natural.
And you know, it's a lot of fun to do this. There's a wait until you really get that full garden going, and so it's so nice to get some containers going to just spruce it up.
It is. And oh, sorry, Ben, really
no,
quick too. I forgot to mention, with the perennials that I did add into the containers, I didn't take them out of their containers. I actually planted the containers they came in right into the urn.
Okay.
So that way you can pull them out when you need to. And I was telling Ben actually on the way here, you can, if you have some ideas for your gardening beds this year and you want to put some perennials in there and you're not sure what you want to do with them yet, you can throw them in your containers for the time being to just add some filler or some color.
Sure.
When, you know, your spring bloomers aren't as big or colorful, just to add some substance in there. So
yeah.
And then pull them out when you need to.
What do you do in terms of fertilizing? Do you add over the course of time any fertilizers, or what do you do?
I added a little dusting of this Osmocote, the Scotts brand.
The slow release, yeah.
Right. Yeah, slow release, okay.
Yeah, generally, I don't know if we've ever really fertilized our containers in the past. They've just kind of taken off, but...
We think we do one or two little, like, big pinches of Osmocote, and that's pretty much all we do. Osmocote, yeah.
Osmocote, I don't even know.
It's one of the brand... I think it's a brand name, yeah.
I was trying to think of
granular slow release fertilizer. Yeah.
And then what about watering those planters? You got to keep your eye on that a little bit, don't you?
Sure. In the springtime, well, as of right now, we don't have a lot of water coming. Hopefully we'll get some rain soon. But I think when I look at containers throughout the year, it's better to underwater than overwater. Because when you overwater, they're basically drowning. You can't really bring them back. But I don't know.
Overwatering could also leach out nutrients. So if you do have that granular fertilizer in there, every time you water, it's breaking down a little faster. So the more frequently you water, the more you may have to fertilize, and the more fertilizer may run off as well. So only you don't want it to get so bone dry that it's parched, but again, daily watering may be too excessive.
Yeah. Liz Freemuth, the Garden Ho of Garden Ho fame, I had her on once, and she was talking about the containers, and she said, you know, it's almost best just to look at the plants and let the plants tell you what, you know, because if they start to wilt a little bit, that's probably the time to be adding the water.
Yes.
There's your sign.
Yes. And I say when you do water, try to make sure you water sometime in the morning. I feel like it's less stress on the plants. Plus, you know, being a public garden like we are too, I don't want to be like out in the middle of the day watering these containers when people are walking around. So it just looks better when people come in that everything's refreshed and ready to go.
Now, do you get the water in under the plants, or you shower the plant kind of?
We're talking about this, teaching our staff this year how to properly water, but it's definitely good to get at the bottom, like where the soil is, the bottom of the plant. You don't want to like sprinkle on top,
getting the leaves wet does not water even
right.
make. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and you can get, if, and then going along with what you said earlier, if you go and do that in the middle of the day when the sun's up and you just drop the water right on the plants, you can even get some damage.
Exactly.
Burn the leaves.
Yeah. You can join in too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments. You guys, by the way, before I forget about it, do you have any events coming up?
Oh, we always do. Yes.
I know you do. That's why I thought I'd bring it up.
So one of our really big kickoffs, so next weekend, so a week from today actually, is really the official kickoff to spring, whether the weather thinks it is or not. We are here. It's spring. So next Friday, a week from today, we're celebrating the Madison Museum of Contemporary Arts Gallery Night with our first Best Friday Ever. So food trucks, activities, we'll be doing a plant by number. So it'll be sort of a community curated garden art piece that we'll plant alongside folks who visit. And then the following day, we have Family Gardening Day. And this has become a real tradition on the UW campus. There's a lot of partners in this, including the Allen Centennial Garden, but also I'll forget someone, unfortunately, but the Master Gardener Program, DC Smith Greenhouse, the Biotron, Steenbach Library, Insect Ambassadors, Wildlife Encounters, planting up plants to take home. It's just a really robust and fun day for gardeners of all ages, and both of those are free.
And now, did you say what evening for the...
Friday is our best Friday ever, and that's an evening, so from 4 to 8, and then the... Or I'm sorry, 5 to 8, I believe. And then the Family Gardening Day is the following morning.
So you can get some food on that Friday night at the... Mm-hmm. You got the food carts right there?
We do, yes. Yep.
That is cool. I'm going to take part of that. What again? 5 to what?
5 8? To 8 p.m. And we'll have bonfires and marshmallow roasting and live music. And
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, Eric in Eau Claire has something for us. Hi, Eric. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, so I've been fighting with my grass for 4 years now at my new home, and I got plenty of other things I could talk about with the soil and everything, but I did a little fall seeding this year, and I'm just curious on how long I can reap the benefits of the snow melt for watering, and when I should start watering by hand again if the rain doesn't come.
So I am in the same boat. I did the same thing at my own home garden last year, and I actually, at least for us here, again, it's been pretty dry for the last week or so, and it's been bright and sunny and warm. I've actually been watering about once a day, just by hand, no more than probably 3 to 5 minutes. But if that first like half inch to inch of soil is fairly dry, giving, especially if it's really tiny plants or the seeds still haven't germinated yet, doing some supplemental watering in these when it gets upwards of 70 is definitely helpful.
Nice. That makes sense. Did you put hay over the seed in the fall and let the snow go on top of that, or is that kind of maybe kill things off once the snow melts and it gets all achy, or do you still use the hay when you do the fall seeding?
I've done it both ways. The hay certainly helps to prevent as much water evaporation from the soil. But in late fall, early spring, when temperatures are typically more mild, it's usually not as big of a concern. I've also just sprinkled a little compost in bare spots and put seed right on that, and it seems to do well.
Very good.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Kathy emailed. She says, I'm downsizing to a condo. I have a few phlox. Can I put them in a container? And what about pussy willows? I have a north-facing balcony. What else could I plant? I got a north-facing window there, Josh. What do you think?
Well, you were just looking at some cool begonias for the garden.
Oh, yes. Now I remember. So I was actually looking online, and I found these begonias called Begonia Luxuriens. Mm. They have, like, these palmate-type leaves, and they almost get tree-like. They're actually from Brazil. That would look really nice. I'm really obsessed with begonias. That's all I can think of right now.
And begonias, I should say, they're great fits for those shady conditions because they come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and... You know, especially if you're working in a shady spot, they would do really well.
Phlox? Right. Well, she's got phlox. She has a few. Can she put them in the container?
Especially if it's on a north side, I have mixed feelings.
And pussy willows, you could probably stick those in anywhere.
Those are grow to spot anywhere.
Yeah, they're gonna go anywhere. Tom in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Tom. Oh, we lost Tom. Well, that's all right, because we can still talk a little bit more about what's going on at the Allen Centennial Garden. Describe when someone comes to the Allen Centennial Garden, and this is always amazes me because it's not a huge area, but there's a huge amount to see in that.
Everything is planted.
Yeah.
There are
different sections.
Yeah, so we have the whole, so again, a little over 2 acres is planted. We have a number of different display gardens. In particular, our rock alpine garden is just, this is its season. These plants are really spring bloomers. So in the next 2 to 3 weeks, this place will be on fire in the best possible way, in terms of really looking good. So, I mean, and again, everywhere throughout the garden, things are popping, but also our woodland garden right now as well. A lot of ephemeral woodland flowers. So those are really two of our highlights. And our English bauble is getting into full bloom.
And the location, again, it's on the UW-Madison campus. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like is there's a parking lot right across the street.
There is, yes. So, again, parking so easy on weekends and evenings. We're a block from the Babcock Dairy Store, so it's a really good excuse to get some ice cream and then walk it off in the garden.
There you go.
we're right off the Lakeshore Path as well, near the Porter Boathouse, so you can be strolling from the Union down to Picnic Point and take a nice detour in the garden. But we're right at the corner of Babcock and Observatory Drive.
And the parking ramp is 36, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's lot 36. So if you go online to UW parking lots, I mean, mm-hmm. literally, UW-Madison parking lots, you're going to find lot 36, and then you look just to the right of that, and you're going to see the Allen Centennial Gardens. Josh Steiger and Ben Fuda from the Allen Centennial Gardens, our guests today here on Garden Talk. It's great to have them along. It's always great to see Jill Nadeau's smiling face. She's got a rose between her teeth. And
where's my music, Larry?
I thought when she came dancing in here, she was going to say, oh, where's my castanets? She's got the rose because she's happy. Because
I am.
It's always fun for us to talk about contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio, because you know what? We both contribute, and your contribution helps as well. It helps keep informative talk programming on WPR strong.
That's right, and your gift makes a big difference, because the single largest share of funding for WPR programs comes from people like you. There are so many good reasons to give, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a goal this
we
10
do.
Minutes of rate. Of,
I know. What are they doing to us here, Larry?
25. We have a goal of 25 for the next 8 minutes or so, and we've already gotten 5.
Thank you
so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy, like Garden Talk.
We've been around, Wisconsin Public Radio, that is, for more than 100 years. And you know, the reason we've been able to stay is because we're committed to quality. Mm-hmm. And listener donations making up the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. That quality is possible because of you.
That's right. Your contribution makes this program possible, and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend a few dollars a month on a TV streaming or a movie subscription service. Think about paying for your WPR use that same way. After all, you tune in every day for information and entertainment, every Friday for Garden
Talk. That's right. And if you've never given before, well, start with a gift of $10 or maybe $20 a month. That's comparable to what you pay for Netflix, or maybe even a better deal. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's always fun for me on a Garden Talk day to talk to people like Ben Fuda and Josh Steiger. They know so much. And
they do.
Frankly, all week long, we have wonderful guests. I think it's a unique radio service in the nation. The whole of the Ideas Network is. And your support makes it possible. So I hope you'll pledge now for the station you rely on and enjoy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, as a bonus, you can enjoy our 2018 artist mug. It's a beautiful image of a caribou. It was made by Karen Ann Hoffman, and the work is inspired by rock art that she found in southwestern Wisconsin. So ask for your mug now and show your support for WPR when you make your gift of $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
You are the one to decide, and I hope you do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Larry Mueller with the flower gal, Jill Nadeau, asking for your support during Garden Talk and during our spring membership drive, because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And maybe you want to give 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever amount. That's the right amount. And we're looking for some more pledges.
We are. We need 20 more pledges in the next 5 minutes, Larry, so that
we
your gift.
Do that.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every single day.
And thanks a lot if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is right now, especially in this last 5 minutes of this show. To give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yes, thank you so much for all those that have given already. You know, listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, it makes driving, working, cooking, you know, it's a whole different experience and a much better experience.
Jill always listens to public radio while she's out there gardening. As
I do, actually.
She's got her little radio hooked right up
headset
to her ears, her little headset going there. And she supports WPR. What about you? Your support makes it possible to turn maybe an ordinary day into an extraordinary one.
Any
what do you
day
think about
with,
that?
I like that. Any day with WPR is extraordinary.
I like that a lot.
Yes, yes.
And how do you make your day extraordinary? You're going to make it even more extraordinary when you contribute right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's so easy, Joe.
It is easy. It's easy because it's really the easiest way is to be, oh, you know what? The easiest way is to become a sustainer, Larry.
Oh.
That's what we need to do. A sustaining membership is one that's ongoing, either from your bank account or your debit or credit card.
It automatically renews. You don't have to remember to write a check every year. Let's say if you were contributing at that $15 a month, even though you were a sustainer, you would still receive the mug. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Some people give $10 a month, not $15, but mm-hmm. I know some people who give $100 a month.
Oh, yeah.
As well. What's the idea here? Just pick out the amount that works for you. You can set it up right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then you can sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience.
Without any guilt.
You have that rose in between your teeth just like Jill
when she
came in today.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how I can talk with that in my teeth, Larry? I'm very talented.
And with a flower pot on your
head.
And
a flower pot. Yes, good thing we don't have a camera. Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. And if you've been listening to Larry, you know he makes you laugh. You fill in the blank and how you feel when you hear this show. You fill it in. Those are powerful feelings. And, you know, you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 17 people. Are you one of those 17? It's a great time to support Garden Talk. It support WPR programs, all of the ones you love. Do it right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And, I really want to thank you if you've already contributed. It's been wonderful this week. This is the last day of our drive. It's all done for the spring drive. So help us go out with a kind of like with a bang,
with
like
a
those
bang.
Fireworks
That's
I let
right,
off
Larry.
Earlier. It's
That's
still a little
right.
smoky in here. if you haven't done it, do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much
Thank you.
For listening and supporting.